Really young quarterback room, Sam Ellinger, Cameron Rising, Casey Thompson. Can you talk a little bit about each one of those guys and the differences that they bring to the table?
I feel like the two older guys, Ellinger, with the hard G.
Good morning, Mad Radio. That was Tom Herman as part of Big 12 Media Days yesterday. So remember, Ellinger with the hard G. I think I'm now not going to forget that because I always obviously know who Sam is.
I will because he's not good.
He is, well, come on, how is he not good? He's a talented player. He's a freshman last year.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. I wanted to see more Bouchel.
My God, what? You are so hard on quarterbacks.
What? Bouchel was better.
No, was he?
I like Bouchel better as a quarterback. I know a lot of my UT friends get ticked off when I say this, but I think Bouchel has more. He brings more to the table. I think Ellinger can't throw.
We just got into a random argument, Seth, about Sam Ellinger, Ellinger, who was a freshman last year. Who
Ellinger, with the hard G.
Right.
Hard G. Yes.
Second off, yeah.
How long was that break? Was that a short break?
It was a little bit shorter than normal.
All right, yes, I'm going to abandon my steps goal until later. I'm only at 6,500 steps.
That's
right
pretty
now.
Good for 7:43 in the morning.
I guess, but I've been up for 3 hours and 43 minutes. It's,
So those of you who normally join us on a Wednesday at this time know that John McClain is usually in, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Unfortunately, John is out this morning. He had a fall, and he is undergoing surgery on his arm. And so we wish the best for John, obviously. We will, in honor of John McClain, we will continue the Ask Blank Anything at the top of the hour. So with John out today, he'll be back next week. And hopefully with the Triple Threat Friday, we'll see. Seth's advice was to John to not be like a Rambo sort of guy, but take it easy.
Well, don't be afraid of the pain pills. Yeah. Like a lot of times people want to be a hero, which is cool. I mean, if you can get through it without any pain pills. I used to do that. And then after like my third or fourth surgery, I was like, what the hell am I trying to prove to anybody here? And I started using the pain pills. And unless you've got a history of painkiller addiction or something, you end up taking better care of yourself. And you end up like, cause sometimes there's activity that you're supposed to do. A lot of times orthopedic injuries, especially activity immediately afterwards is good if you don't overdo it. And sometimes the pain pills help you facilitate that a little bit more.
So with John out, we're going to do Ask Us Whatever You Want coming up at the top of the hour.
Given a few circumstances today, we might want to tweet that out too. Ooh,
yes, let's do that. All right,
I'll do that right now.
We'll tweet that
from
out
the
as
station
well.
Account at Sports Radio 610. Akalon says at Paint NFL at Mike Meltzer. Boom.
So, this is really interesting. I found this hilarious. I played this like 5 times in my apartment last night. They have Big 12 Media Days. That's how lame I am. This is Big 12 Media Days, and you're going to hear Kirk Bowles of the Austin American-Statesman, longtime reporter, columnist, all that, asking what seems to me like a pretty basic question to University of Texas head coach Tom Herman. This is not edited in the middle, just the front and the end. Take a listen to what happened yesterday.
Oklahoma had 4 All-Americans last year and came within an overtime of getting to the championship game. You had 1 All-American, a punter, who's gone. How many elite players do you feel like you have on this roster that can be difference makers and win championships?
Wow.
Some? I don't know. You kind of put me on the spot there. I haven't tallied up difference makers and championship level guys, and I don't know that it's fair for me to give an assessment with the limited time that I have to think about that question.
You settle down. What's he? I watched the video.
Yep.
And I knew exactly what was going through his mind there. I'm guessing. I don't know exactly what. I think he was going through the roster in his mind. He was going through his depth chart. And he was actually like trying to calculate it and then realized like, wait a second, I'm like, what am I going to do? Sit here and like sell 5 guys out by only mentioning 3 or 2 or 7 or whatever it might be.
So he was doing that calculation.
He realized, he was trying to give, in my opinion, he wanted to give an honest question to that answer to that question. And then he realized midstream, like, okay, that's probably not the best way to go with this. Either that, or he wanted to give a witty response. As he was going through that awkward phase, I came up with about 12 seconds into it is the appropriate answer would be that would be awesome for all UT fans, would be very pandering, is like, hey, if we win the championship, all those guys are championship caliber players. That's all you need, which is true. A lot of times you think, like, people make the mistake sometimes in their mind of thinking, like, oh, to win a championship, like, every single guy's got to be an all-pro or an all-American. Well, that's not the case. There's some schlubs out there. You just got to be part of, you got to be a cog. And but you will be a championship-level player if you win the championship.
I just found the gap to be so fun, to be funny. And then when he was just like, some, that was the answer.
He looks, I'm worried that Herman has steadily gained a little bit of weight over the last year or so, that there's been
he's got some stress
of the job. He's never struck me as a guy that doesn't handle stress well, though. Maybe he's getting too many free meals up there in Austin.
Possibly.
It's not like he didn't get free meals here, I would imagine.
Maybe he's not following his own P scale.
Tom Herman
he's not dehydrated. He's the opposite. He's bloated.
I got to give credit to Herman about this because he said something on the record yesterday that I fully agree with, and I've been on this for like 5 years. Herman was on a Sirius' ESPNU radio, and he said about non-conference scheduling for the University of Texas, quote, in my perfect world, you would play one big-time Power 5 non-conference opponent. To me, there is a very logical one about an hour and a half east of us. Obviously, referring to Texas A&M, and I am completely neutral on this. I have no dog in the fight on this. If I were an A&M fan or if I were a Texas fan, it would drive me insane to not play the other team every year. It would drive me nuts. I mean, I'm a Michigan fan. If you told me that Michigan didn't play Michigan State or Ohio State, that would lessen my enjoyment of watching college football every single fall. That would drive me nuts.
I lean UT because I enjoy their arrogance, but I think that this should be happening every single year. It really should be. But it's not happening. It's just a direct reflection on the, I would say, cowardly nature of both administrations in not getting this game to happen. There is no excuse for it not to happen. None. Sorry, Texas A&M. You're an 8-win team every single year. Sorry, Texas. You're an 8-win team, best case scenario every single year. Shut up and play and stop posturing like it's the other school's fault. It's both of your faults, you losers.
It sounds like it's a much bigger problem for UT, though, at least to hear it from Tom Herman. They're like, hey, come on, A&M. This is what you don't do in sales. You don't talk about your own problems. Like a car salesman doesn't come to you and be like, hey, I really need this money to make my mortgage payment. So what do you say you buy this car from me? Herman's talking to making this pitch for this game, and he's kind of whining about Texas's problems. Like, all right, well, what's in it for A&M? Where A&M does have to prepare for themselves, as their AD said, they're looking eastward. They have their own issues to think about in the SEC. And I think long term, I don't think it benefits A&M a whole lot, where they already have the benefit of playing in the SEC, to take on a team in Texas. I don't care about what they've done lately. I care about what Texas has in terms of potential for recruiting and what they can be in terms of being a powerhouse. Texas, this benefits Texas a lot more in beating a team from the SEC than it does benefit the A&M.
I think that's fair, but I mean, if Texas A&M gets a win over a team like Texas when Texas is playing well during a season, they are afforded a second loss, which the SEC gets the benefit of more than any other conference in college football. And to continue with this, like Texas, who was the athletic director before the guy that currently is in?
Steve Patterson.
Yeah. Steve Patterson was focused on playing games in freaking China. Like, who cares about college football, college basketball in China? No one cares. Focus on this game. I'm sorry. This is something that both of your fan bases want. This is something that would make tons of money for both schools. And they have this audacity to believe that every single year they're title contenders. I'm sorry, you're not. You have nothing to prove that you are a title contender at Texas A&M. Nothing. You had Johnny Manziel. Congratulations. He's gone. He's been gone a long time.
The question becomes, though, okay, A&M proving they're a title contender. Do you really think that playing... What A&M is not lacking for is notable games on their schedule. So adding one more potentially notable game, but that can also give them an extra loss on the record, I don't see where it benefits them.
But Seth, you've talked a lot about how, to use a different sport, how you respect the fact that Daryl Morey and some other teams have been aggressive in going after the Warriors. How are we in a spot now where it somehow doesn't benefit one side to play the Texas A&M game?
Because that's a systemic issue. That would be like saying, because that's different than Morey playing on a level playing field and going after that. Like, what you're asking A&M to do is to tilt the playing field against themselves. long term, which is theoretically, which doesn't behoove them. Like Daryl Morey would never do something. Daryl Morey would never be like, well, you know, for the good of the league and the excitement, we should play all of our games in San Antonio. Like it's just like because it's good for San Antonio.
I just find it remarkable that we somehow could live in a world in which it's not beneficial for us to have Texas and Texas A&M play a college football game every year. That's crazy.
You can't imagine that. You can't imagine that somehow in this modern state of college football, it's become all about the national championship. Yes. All about the national championship. You can't understand how the fans that demand that also want to demand something that might not benefit them in that goal to be a national championship.
But the thing is, like, at least get to that level. Neither of them are close. Neither of them. Like, oh, wow.
Should just give up.
No, they should do things to raise their profile, and this is a way to raise their profile is having games against one another, and whoever loses, yes, sucks for you. But guess what? That's what happens in college football. This game should happen. These teams are cowards for not doing it. It's pathetic.
Cowards.
Yes,
don't throw
yes,
the C
yes,
word
cowards,
out there.
Absolute cowards.
People these days.
What else should I say?
With, like, the word coward.
Oh,
like,
we might lose to Texas. Oh God, we might be an SEC team losing to a Big 12 school. It's embarrassing. There's no excuse. There is none. And you can talk to any Texas or Texas A&M fan. Everyone wants it to happen except for the administrators who are losers. There's losers. That's a loser mentality. Oh, I don't want to lose a game. You both suck. You're 8-4 teams. You're nowhere close to what you used to be. Texas A&M, again, you've had two good years ever. Shut up. Texas, Vince Young is not walking through that door. Play the game. I'm sick of it. It pisses me off, legitimately.
You want the Aggies to leave the SEC?
Are they in the SEC? Because they can't beat LSU. So like, you know what? How about beat LSU first?
I don't think they should be in the SEC, but that's neither here nor there. I obviously get why they're in the SEC, but it would also drive, and I totally get your point, Seth, because your point is logically, it's logical.
But
Paul wants things.
But also.
Sorry about the logic.
The logic is, we're scared of losing.
The argument should be everybody should try to play a top 25 team every single game. Or you're a coward. You're a coward.
What? What's wrong with playing one top 25 team instead of playing like Sam Houston State or whatever other directional school in Texas?
You're playing to win the game, and the game is like, okay, we got to try to divvy up our schedule.
But they can't win the games. Neither of them can win the games. That's my problem.
So you're saying they should just give up completely?
No, I'm saying that they should try this.
They can't win the SEC, but you should still make it harder for yourself and also add on to another play to potentially Texas should be like I'm giving A&M credit for giving Texas maybe more credit than they should.
And look, I understand that perspective. You were right in that there is more to be lost for A&M than there is to be lost for Texas in this situation. But to me, both of these schools are, in terms of the national title contender possibilities, they are both like non-Power 5 conference teams to me. Do not matter right now. Play the game.
And here's the thing. You know who You know who A&M plays week 2 this year?
Yeah.
Clemson. Mm-hmm. A&M plays Clemson week 2. They played UCLA the last two years.
But according to Paul, Jimbo Fisher is a coward.
Why would you play Clemson?
You're completely ignoring
play Clemson?
No, plus you're completely ignoring.
They're gonna get killed.
You're completely ignoring that part of it, which is that it's like you're talking about A&M in the past tense when this is Jimbo Fisher's team. Like is like the mode of thinking at A&M right now is not like, well, we can't win a national championship anyway. So why do we even bother hiring Jimbo Fisher? We should have gotten somebody to cut rate.
Look, you're playing Clemson and out of conference, yet you're not playing Texas. Like, explain that to me. How?
Clemson helps them more. Clemson helps them more this year in their quest for a national championship.
No, you know what? You're
right. Paul Gallant, save that, by the way. Paul Gallant just said that Texas A&M is going to get killed.